This is the Personnel Committee regular meeting of March 2nd.
Thank you.
We are now called to order. And again, are there any comments from the public? Hearing none, let's move on to reviewing the security chief job specification proposed changes.
I'll take this one, Randy. This is Tom Hennig. As if you're paying attention to what's going on here at Rancho Marietta, we had our security chief take a personal leave back in beginning back in August, and eventually he.
Can you hear me? Yes.
Okay. So the security chief went on personal leave back in August, and in January he notified us that he was resigning from the district. And during this time, we've spent a lot of effort trying to figure out the best way to run the security division. And what we've determined is that we wanted to change the job description for the security chief to bring it up to a more of a situation where the person running security is more focused on leadership and supervision than holding the title of chief. And so we've come up with this idea of creating a security supervisor position that makes it more akin to the needs of the district, and a little bit more leadership and managing the department than being basically like a quasi police officer here at the district. And so if there's any questions, we can kind of go through this line by line or issue by issue. Tina Talamantes, who's the interim security chief, has been very helpful in helping redefine the role of the security supervisor. And what we're asking for is that this committee approve that we take this forward to the board for formal approval at the next regular board meeting. I'll take any questions, and Tina's available as well.
I don't have any chats and I don't have any hands raised, Tom.
Okay. All right, then I would.
I don't have any questions. I've read it. The only question, because I'm having some internet problems, I want to say, Tom, you and I spoke under experience. I think we were going to put sergeant was the term under experience in the minimum 5 years supervisorial management experience. Is that correct?
That is correct. And I guess I should call out the highlights. The fact of the matter is we changed the title, and then we added the requirement that the experience be 5 years and that it be at a minimum of the sergeant level in a law enforcement agency. And that was really that, and the fact that we added the requirement that the position have a college degree in order to meet the minimum qualifications. And both of those reasons are my comments about leadership. And again, Tina can answer any questions, but basically in the law enforcement environment, if you want to succeed and move up in the ranks, you have to go through the whole sergeant's exam process. And the sergeant's exam process is, you know, you have to learn budgeting, you have to learn advanced levels of supervision, and be able to take on a responsible role in a law enforcement agency, whereby you're a decision maker, and you're also a mentor towards other officers wanting to go the same path. So we added those requirements because our understanding of law enforcement and the needs of the district are a little bit different today than they were, you know, probably 25 years ago when the position was designed, probably back in 98, 99. So those two issues, the amount of experience and then the requirement that a college degree be part of the requirements of the minimum qualifications. Tina, can you think of anything else?
No.
Tim or Randy?
So I guess we're not concerned that this is going to narrow the field of possibilities for filling this position. It is, I wonder what the history of our chiefs or supervisors going back. Have the majority of them or all of them had a college degree? Do we know?
I can't answer that question. I can definitely answer that question by the time we take this to the board as a follow-up.
I'm pretty sure historically that, well, it wasn't a requirement. And so I think starting with Mr. Noller, the answer would be no to that, Randy. The other thing, if I remember my conversations correctly, was as we're calling it as a security supervisor, it just ties in with other supervisor positions we have within the district. So we're just trying to kind of maybe build a standardization as we slowly look at all the different job descriptions. This just happens to be the first one we're coming across. But I think you're going to see that as we're moving forward, putting in some either desirable requirements or needed requirements on the educational front or different types of experience. Because again, the thought process is a supervisor is a supervisor is a supervisor within the district. Just depends on where you happen to fall.
Tina, in your experience, is making this position a college graduate position? Are we tying ourselves to a smaller field that's, I guess, more qualified, but maybe not? Is that, what's your take on that?
No, I think it's better because it gives people, or would give a broader perspective on management in agencies, whether it, and it really doesn't matter what kind of degree they have, because it would just give people a broader view of what is needed for a higher level position, which really is what this is. It's a leadership position. So, and there's a lot of law enforcement agencies out there who actually require a degree, even just to be a police officer. And then as they promote up, typically in the processes, if you're a sergeant or a lieutenant, you get more points in the interview and the testing process if you do have a degree. That's part of it. Because they're typically looking for people with broader knowledge and as well as the experience level too. So
I guess the where we're going with this is, it is, you know, beating a dead horse here, but this is a supervisor position. So this new position, this person will not be getting into a patrol car and taking any shifts on. Is that what I'm gathering?
No, that is not the case, Randy. One of the things that we've looked at is that the previous chief had been allowed to not take patrol shifts and to basically spend their time in the office. And I believe that created a disconnect from the community and the chief. In the past, you know, what I've been told is, I think Chief Noller basically worked Monday through Friday, the day shift, and was able to get the administrative part of the work done at the same time as handling the patrol calls during the day. Granted, you know, societies in the district is different today, but my expectation is that the supervisor of security would do patrol on a fairly consistent basis, 2 or 3 days a week at a minimum, and then administrative duties and outreach on the other times. And what we're finding that communicating within the community to have the chief visible is a critical aspect of respect for our security department. And that's what we're trying to build, is because we're finding that the respect for the officers is a little bit compromised over the past, you know, few years, or especially over the past during the pandemic, and we want to build that relationship back up.
Yeah, I'm getting the picture here, but I just one last thing I'd like to go back to Tina and ask again. So we've upped this to a college degree person, and I guess what we're saying here is that a college degree person isn't going to mind getting into a patrol car and doing three shifts a week. That's you've been your experience that those people are out there?
Yes. I have my degree, and when I worked in my prior law enforcement agency, I always actually liked being the watch commander and being out in the field. And I was always out there with the guys. And let me tell you, that's the greatest thing that they had. They didn't want somebody that was always in the office just doing nothing. They wanted the help. They needed the leadership out in the field. And it also created the connection with the community as well. Going out and talking to people, seeing what their needs are, listening to them, things like that. And I think we need that here too, in seeing the community and the different types of needs that they have with security is they want to be able to meet and talk with higher levels, not just with the officers. And okay. It does create that all level right. of respect, and not just the respect, but just feeling comfortable in the community, knowing that even the chief is out there knowing what's going on. And that's the biggest thing is, does he or she really know what's going on out there? They're not going to know unless they go out and see what's going on at the lakes or participating in the 4th of July event or anything else that's going on in the district, whether it's, you know, the storms and being out there and helping out, or if there's a call to assist, you know, with the sheriff's department or traffic control or whatever else before law enforcement gets here.
Very good. Okay. I'm good with moving forward, Tim.
Yes. I can make a motion that we approve the security supervisor job description to move forward to would be this board meeting of the board of directors. So I'll make that motion.
Okay. Agreed. So then let's move on to the proposed CalPERS retired annuitant project specialist position.
I'll take this one. This is Tom Hennig. And what we noticed when we had the vacancy in the when the previous security chief was on personally for such an extended period of time, we reached out and we tried to hire a retired law enforcement person to as an interim basis work with us. And we ended up with hiring Tina Talamantes back in December, who is a retired police lieutenant from the city of Stockton. And it turns out that Tina's skill and her experience has been very valuable to the district, getting what I feel is security back on track. And some of the stuff we're seeing is a direct relationship to her skills. So along the way, CalPERS is doing a really good job of tracking the retired annuitant program in this pandemic period, because the governor made some changes in how retired annuitants can work. And we can go out, we can talk about this for a long time, but basically in order to bring people back that had retired from the public health fields, like retired doctors and nurses and public health officials, the governor changed the rules so retired annuitants could work basically full time. So what CalPERS is doing is going through their books and making sure that everybody who's working as a retired annuitant is following the rules. And so we're having Tina in as the interim security chief became problematic in that we had decided to change the position. And that was taking us some time. And so through an audit, CalPERS contacted us and walked us through what they were expecting to see for the rules to be followed. And now that we have the security supervisor and a job description where we want it, we can start recruiting it, which will allow Tina to continue to work as the interim security supervisor pending us hiring another person. In the meantime, in talking to CalPERS, we suggested to them that we create a job description that allows us to hire retired annuitants to work for us on a very prescriptive type basis. And that would be in Tina's situation, having somebody who is retired in the security field to work as a retired annuitant on special projects and community outreach and stuff like that, not necessarily supervising people, but helping the district with our security initiatives. And then we've added to it, and this is all agreed with CalPERS, and they're happy to see us doing this. We've added to it the opportunity to possibly hire retired engineers who can come and help us with some of the engineering work that Paul needs to have happen out here, as well as possibly a retired financial person to help get us through issues with staffing in a short-term basis, allowing us to have a job description that can be filled by a retired annuitant. So other than Tina, we don't have a retired annuitant working for us today. We had one working patrol with us for the last year or so. And in the future, I can easily see us bringing in an engineer to help with inspections who's been retired recently to ease the burden on Paul's staff and to possibly help us get work done at a lesser cost because of the retired annuitants are generally less expensive than consulting firms and companies. So if approved, this becomes a job description in our personnel system. The salary range, you know, can range from between $30 and $90 an hour based upon experience and the type of assignment. And these are the duties that, you know, we've kind of outlined what they would probably do, you know, perform detailed comprehensive research on special projects, help with internal organizational audits, and so on and so forth. But basically, they don't come in to supervise people. They come in to act as an interim or as an added extra help getting special projects or complex projects completed, or possibly inspections of complex or semi-complex engineering needs like buildings and developments and stuff like that. So again, we're asking for permission to take this forward to the board for formal adoption, and it will go into the district's personnel, what we have available to hire people into. Is there any questions?
This is Tina. And just for clarification on the retired annuitant position, it is limited to 960 hours in the norm of things. So just so you know. And with that, on a retired annuitant position, it cannot be a part-time position that's open to anyone.
So I think what you're trying to say, Tina, it's basically project oriented. It's, do we have a need to build this type of operation? Do we have a need to catch up with some financial reporting, or do we have a need to, is there the Murrieta Gardens project is going on, and do we have a need to bring somebody in who does building inspections on a regular basis instead of hiring out through a consulting firm? Which in the meantime, you know, we are reaching out to get consulting firms to help us do inspections at a lesser price than the regular engineering costs. So this has been something we needed to address for some time.
So for example, you can't just go look or advertise for an inspector to do special inspections, and an annuitant shows up and you can hire them. You have to specifically advertise for an annuitant if that's what you want, or how does that work?
Well, if we have a building project going on, let's say we want to bring somebody in to work for us 20 hours a week while Riverview is being built out for whatever inspections we would have then, during that period of time, we could advertise, we could reach out to an organization, say, do you know of anybody who has these skills, who's recently retired, who wants to do some part-time work for us? What it is not a full-time job. And that's the idea with the retired annuitant program, is you can fill them in slots when you need them, but you're not allocating cost and a full-time equivalent position to a specific job. It's very project oriented. So, and, or, you know, they can do work that is kind of routine, but again, not a full-time position. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it did. So the, this job description here, we found an example somewhere, or CalPERS had an example, or they helped us out with this. I guess the idea here is to stay out of trouble with CalPERS. So, and this will do it. We're thinking.
We are working in lockstep with CalPERS. We have an analyst with the Working After Retirement Program who is paying attention to what we're doing. We had a conference call with three people at CalPERS yesterday for about a half an hour going through our project plan, one of them, which is the manager of the Working After Retirement Program. So this is to stay out of trouble with CalPERS, definitely.
Okay. And to answer the question, yes, we did find some examples of that where it is specific to certain shortened job descriptions, so to speak, but they're only like one or two lines. For the specific areas, like in one city, we found the aid position, and underneath that, it had different levels of what could be done as a retired annuitant, such as camera room operator, dispatch, investigator, inspector. And those positions go in line with different positions within the city, such as the fire department doing inspections. So that's a retired annuitant job, and they're all limited to the 960 hours and specifically for retired annuitants. But in that one job description, it's just one, then it lists every single item that someone could do if they could qualify for that position, whether it's dispatch or doing Public Records Act requests or the inspector or investigator, camera room operators. There were like 10 different items on one of them that we looked at. So, and that's what CalPERS said, is that it has to be specific to that, not something that is part-time or full-time open to anyone. So.
Okay, I understand. Thank you. I'm good with moving this to the board, Tim.
I do too, but just one point of clarification for me. As we advertise out, and I'll pick say we've got some development coming, so we want an inspector. Would we, when we bring that person on, this annuitant, would we then kind of come up with a project statement, a contract that would define, very similar to what Tina was saying, very specific roles? So instead of putting everything and listing all the possibilities out on this document, I think the document's accurate. Would we, when you hire this person, Tom, would we just narrow down that scope of work, if you will, specific to that individual, and it would just be layered underneath the overall CalPERS retired annuitant specialist? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, Tim. And we're developing a format for when we do hire a retired annuitant.
Perfect.
To specify what they're going to do, and also kind of the rules as to their position in the district as an at-will employee. So correct. Basically, okay. If you're a retired annuitant and you're on the schedule, you can work. If you're not on the schedule, you don't work. So That's the at-will status. They also can't have applied for unemployment in the previous year. That's a CalPERS rule, because it, early on with the retired annuitant features, some people were working for a while and filing for unemployment benefits. And so we disallow that. That's per CalPERS. So we follow the rules and we're staying in touch with CalPERS to make sure we don't get anybody in trouble with their retirement status.
Okay, yeah, great. No. That's totally appropriate. I think, again, this just happens to be the first step of a handful, and it's just insecurity right now. But it, like staff was saying, Randy, you know, it's going to move over to field operations. It very well could be a project in admin on finance. Thing that jumps out to me could be the reserve study type of thing, you know, those types of things. So, yes, staff, this is where we've needed to go. And to staff, at no point did any of the board members, specifically myself, want any stomach acid burned over the CalPERS issue. And to that end, Tom, thank you for addressing it as quickly as you have. I can make a motion, Randy, that we move it to the board as an action item, if that works.
Very good. I agree. So that will be the order. Moving on, any other comments, Tim?
No, just the comment that was made, that we just don't want to jeopardize any of staff that would come in and fill these positions because they've already earned a retirement. We just don't want to take a chance. And so to that end, thank you to staff for working this through so quickly and we can get it addressed, formalized, and move forward from that standpoint. So thank you.
Very good. With that, I don't have any comments or suggestions. Staff, any comments or suggestions?
And from me.
Good. Hearing none, we will move to adjournment. Thank you, everyone.
I agree.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Randy. Thanks.